Now's the time when we get to listen to thoughts being shared by a young man that I've loved probably for more years than good many of you have even been living. He's a lot older than what he looks. I've loved this kid for an awful lot of years. I loved him before he was even able to love himself. He is fantastic. And you know what? He has hung in here through his times of trouble and times of having to move away and coming back, but he never left us from the time he found us. He was 6 months old. No. You weren't very old, but you were a little older than 6 months. And anyhow, here's a guy I love and you love and everybody loves, and it's Dennis O'Donnell.
I can't leave the singing. It keeps bringing me back. Okay. Hi, everybody. Rich is way back there. They'll hear me.
His mouth is up higher than mine.
They'll hear me. Well, evening, everybody. Thanks for being here. I want to tell you a little story of restoration of faith, and it's a love story. And, I've been noticing a lot of blessings for myself just lately. A lot of friends have been there for me the last few years, especially. A lot of acquaintances that know me in different circles, they've expressed a lot of, admiration and, respect for me. There's something up there, Lori, we should know about? Oh, it's a good sign. Anyway, and I've had some financial challenges. I really haven't been too gainfully employed for the last couple of years, but I managed to just get by, and in the nick of time, things show up. And again, largely because of the help of my friends, little jobs come. And I've been really getting good at not letting, the fear of poor finances upset me too much. It's like they come, they go. Not too worried about them, which is a sure sign of old age. I also, in the midst of this, I've been kind of like, kind of in the back of my head, nameless fears and apprehensions, but sometimes I think, oh God, I'm going to be homeless. And right now I have three different rooms in three different houses with three different friends who, have opened themselves up to me full time. So I'm feeling blessed. I'm feeling blessed in lots and lots of ways. And I was talking to Gloria a little bit earlier, and the real estate market in which she's a partner of mine in one of the deals. It hasn't been wonderful, but all in all, all the projects I'm involved in, are doing well. We still have them, and most all the investors are still reasonably happy. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. And so I attribute all this, really, it's all, my newfound perspective here just lately is largely due to my having fallen in love with Kate. And having Kate, love and accept me, quite honestly. And it's a blessing. It's a good thing. About a year and a half ago, I swore off women entirely. Just swore them off. Relationships, they just wore me out. I repeatedly ended up either brokenhearted or beat up. And just got exhausted. Just exhausted. So I just gave them up. I swore them off, and I was doing good at it, too, for a while. But it seemed to create a bit of an empty spot inside, kind of a big vacuum in there, and how the universe doesn't like vacuums and seeks to fill them up. And but I did. I managed to go ahead and stop trying to meet all these relationship needs and stopped implementing my best ideas and working at it. And you know, kind of accepted the fact that I didn't know what was good for me. And like I heard recently, you know, the old saying about having a broken picker. And so I accepted that, and that happens when you get older too. And I just decided, you know, I would just kind of do my best on my own. Thank you very much. And, you know, in dealing with people, you know, they like to have really clear ideas of what it is you want. They like clear direction, and you're expected to know what it is you want, and they need that help. And I'm kind of one of those who thinks that God is a little bit better in his economy if you don't try to tell him just exactly what it is you want, because for me, when I get it, as I've mentioned many times before when I've stood up here, I get something that I don't really want for very long, or it doesn't quite fit exactly right, or I end up wondering, you know, what's this, rather quickly. So I've been practicing, and in this regard, I was kind of, you know, beaten down into just having a big, clear canvas and creating a vacuum and letting it be. Charlene said I had a nice haircut when I came in. And how many people have heard my haircut stories before? I always tell my haircut stories.
We like them.
Do you like your haircut? I like them too, because it's always an adventure. See, I don't have a dedicated haircut person, and I don't make appointments for haircuts. They're kind of an impulse buy, and when I need one and there's a place and it's not crowded and I can walk in and get one, well, that's the place. Consequently, nobody ever cuts my hair, you know, in a row. It's always different. But in a lot of ways, it's always the same. And I walk in and they always look at me and, you know, and they want to know, how do I want it? Well, what do you mean, how do I want it? You're the hair cutter. I don't know. You know, you're supposed to know how I want it. Yeah. Well, some of the adventures in hair cutting. There was one girl, I told her, you know, kind of, I want it like it is. And so she's standing in back of me, and she's standing there, and she's standing there, and I guess she just froze up. And the hair cutter next to us, she came over and said, here, let me show you. And she kind of, I don't know, she primed the pump and got this girl to where she was cutting. And once she started cutting, she was fine. But right at first, I'm thinking, this is not looking good. But she gave me a good haircut. She gave me a good haircut. There's another lady I had haircuts from, Vietnamese lady, and she was very good. Actually, I went back to her a couple of three times. And she talked a lot, but I never had this happen before, but when she'd get around the ears, she would have me hold my ears out of the way. Which I thought, listen, honey, if you want me to, if it'll keep me from bleeding, I'll hold my ears. She was fine. And then in Hillcrest, I get a haircut now and then, and there was this bohemian girl, this artist, and she's tattooed, but she's got a lot of style. And she's sharp, and she looked pretty good, and you know, she asked me what I want, and I kind of admitted that I'm probably kind of boring, I really don't know what I want, and I kind of always get it like this, you know. But she kind of talked me into being a little bit more adventurous and a little bit more arty, and I said, well, fine, you know, but no lightning bolts or anything. And I don't know what she did, but she did do something a little bit more arty, and it was kind of fun. And I went back to try to find her next time, but she was gone. Bohemian girls, they come and they go. So, my last haircut was a bit of a trip, too. Well, you know, you go in and she says, well, you're here for a haircut? Well, you know, that's all you do here. And I say, yeah, do you have time? And there's nobody in there. So she takes me back, she sets me down, and you know, well, how do you want it? And she's telling me this, and she's kind of looking at a wall with all these different pictures of these hairstyles and things. And I'm kind of, well, I don't know. I kind of like it the way it is, I say. Well, she says, well, so do I. And I said, well, maybe I don't need a haircut. And I said, you know, do you think I even need one? And she says, well, I like it the way it is. Well, maybe I should run at that point. But I sit there and I kind of said, well, you know, it's getting kind of long and it's getting kind of shaggy. And if it gets too long, it's going to curl up. And, you know, I kind of need a haircut like if I was looking for a job or something. And so she accepted that and started to kind of cut. And we're talking about haircut styles from the 70s and other things that she doesn't know about. And she seems to be doing a pretty good job. I told her the only rule was not to make it too short because it'll stick out. It sticks out. And when I get done, I'll be danged if it isn't too short. Because right here, this part is too light, and in the morning it sticks out, which I don't like. So the point of the story is, I think that with people, you need to be real clear and give them strong directions so they'll know exactly what not to do for you. So they know not to do what you ask. No, I'm kidding, but it is fun to get haircuts. If you guys go to the same haircutter all the time, you're missing out on great fun in life. You know, with God, if I give him a specific request, like I said, I don't often get something that I really want for very long. And, you know, if I go shopping for relationships, kind of like those impulse buys, I'm usually dissatisfied, and sometimes I'm just flat out distraught. So I stopped doing those. And so I prayed to God, God, protect me from all women. Take away all my interest and help me to just be happy getting along on my own. Seriously. This is my deal. So God takes this as some kind of personal challenge. And as an opportunity to fill this vacuum. And he gets his, you know, his grace and his spirit out, and he does some kind of judo moves. And somehow or another, you know, he comes up with something lots better than what I could have thought of. And he does this maneuvering and this scheming. And next thing you know, me and Kate, well, she's my girlfriend again. And so I'm not allowed to tell you all the details of that.
I'll tell you. Ask me, I'll tell you.
But along with the package and with the love is, you know, my life just started looking a whole lot better in all kinds of different areas. And, you know, my perspective was, my glasses were much more rosy. Put it that way. So, you know, it's a good thing that I finally got kind of beaten down into, you know, dejection and frustration and exhausted and was able to just kind of drop it. It took me a long time to learn to just drop it, just let it rest. And there's an author that I'm reading right now named Annie Ann Lamont. And she's got this little phrase in one of her essays about, how does it say, rest as a spiritual practice. I never thought about that before. That sounds kind of nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the sound of it. It doesn't exactly suit me because I have trouble finding the time to rest. Resting is for the privileged few. Like Janie is a swami at this spiritual practice. Janie's a good rester. And Patty is an avid, you know, practitioner of resting. Now, Millie doesn't believe in the spiritual path whatsoever. She thinks that, you know, that's a waste of vital life energy to rest, and that, you know, you got to be doing something, you got to be doing something for somebody, and resting is just a waste. But some people are doers and some people are sleepers. So, and even with Millie, I know eventually, you know, her body and her mind catches up, and, you know, she has to give the devil his due and rest a little bit. And I know this as a fact because I've had the occasion to stay at Millie's house, stay overnight in her guest room and stuff. And sometimes, you know, Millie has aches and pains and things, or she'll get a cramp or something. Sometimes she just doesn't sleep as good as we'd like her to. And she might get up and pace around some in the evening, and she's not sleeping as well. But, you know, sometimes, too, I'll be in the room there, and I'll hear from the other room a little snoring going on.
And, that.
And that's a good thing. That's a good thing, because then I know she's resting good and, you know, she'll be okay. Well, Kate and I, we rest a little bit, too, sometimes. And Kate is a good napper. And Kate also has super sensitive ears. And she thinks that I snore. She claims that I snore.
Oh, no, thanks.
And so sometimes she'll wake me up from a nice sleep and tell me to turn over because I'm snoring. So I'm kind of getting conditioned now to where when I'm laying there, I watch each breath and make sure that it's quiet so it doesn't... And the breath comes in and goes out, and it's actually a very hard thing to do. It's a very active, very mindful... It's not very restful at all. Not a restful spiritual act, but... So the other day we were napping, and I wasn't sleepy, but I'm kind of laying there, and I'm kind of watching Kate's asleep, and I'm looking at her face, and she's peaceful and contented, and her cherubic little face, and I'm thinking how much I love her, and then I'm kind of noticing, it's like, you know, there's no movement at all, there's no sound. It's like, I guess I kind of got a little panicked, like, maybe like a new mother would, you know. It's like, you know, there's no breathing, sudden infant death, or, you know, sudden middle age death, or something. I don't know. It's funny the way the mind thinks. So I'm kind of, so I think, well, maybe if I look at her torso, and sure enough, the blankets are kind of going up and down a little bit. So I feel all relieved, you know, that she's okay, and she's here, and she hasn't left me. Everything's right with the world. And at this moment of time, you know, I'm kind of feeling this kind of this deep sense of love and kind of a little bit of goosebumpy kind of stuff. And, you know, just it was a bit of a revelation to me, the depth of my love for Kate at the time. And then I got to thinking, would it be good, be a good thing if she snored just a little? Because if she was snoring, then I would know that she was breathing and everything was okay, and it would take all the guesswork out of it. And I'm sitting there holding this thought, you know, it's all very quick, but all of a sudden, you know, there's this tiny little, single, dainty little snore. It's not a snort. Not a snort. It was a snore. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, how did the angels engineer that little blessing, that little confirmation, you know? I took it like as a confirmation that, you know, yeah, Kate's obviously still with me and hears me and loves me. And the angels, they're still there and they're listening and they hear me and they love me and they're working for me. And you know, I recognize, too, that, you know, God's attention is there and his design is kind of in my life is unfolding the way it's supposed to. And he still loves me and provides for me and for Kate. And I think I'm sure that he does that for all of you. So thank you for listening.
Is that wonderful? He has tested his faith in God for so many years, and he always comes out on top. You know, you don't have to be standing up here giving a lecture on hell, fire, and damnation, and, oh, praise the Lord, and all. We don't have to be doing that. All we need to do is share our lives with each other. We're all on a journey here. He shared his life with us. And of course, I've been able to watch him through so much of his journey, which is good for me.
It's been an adventure, hasn't it? It's
been very much an adventure. This man, I've told this, but not everybody knows it, so if you know it already, then turn your ears off. But When I met Dennis, he looked like a pretzel, like a figure eight, I guess you call it. And I thought he was kind of a short kind of a guy, but he went and had, and they had nothing they could do because he had crushed his hips in a car accident. And the medical world didn't have anything they could do to help him. Then they came up with this ability to help him, and he had to go to San Francisco for it, and he went for this special surgery. And when he came back, I looked like, oh, grief. He's going to make it in the doorway or not? He looked like, of course, very thin, but tall. They straightened him out. And this man paints houses. He does anything. He can do anything, you know what I mean? With this physical body of his, that thank you, God teamed up with the medical world and put his body back together again. He's the one who broke it, because he was a little looped when he had his car accident. He has not touched a drink in how many years?
23.
23 years. Yeah. 23 years. Now, if you look at him now, you wouldn't even know that. He didn't have it easy. His parents were a little bit tipsy at times. He picked them. He picked him to see if he could go through that and come out a nice guy. And I say he came out a nice guy. And no, he's not perfect. But if we are perfect, we're not supposed to be on earth. Because the Bible says none of us are perfect. But I tell you, I'm really proud of him. I'm proud of him. And he got up here and he shared a lot of that. Now, I got to tell you, the haircuts were really funny. But there was a time when he was annoyed at these hairdressers would chop his hair. But he can't got, he's turned that around until it has made him a wonderful scene in his life that he can look at and he can share with the rest of us. And yes, he's in love, and it's the first time I've ever heard him say he was in love. And he got up here and he told about how much he loved her, didn't he? And somebody's playing music to prove I'm true. Dennis O'Donnell, I'm proud of you, honey. Patty, are you proud of him, honey?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, we who have known Dennis are mighty proud of him. So God uses him as an example. But God wants to use all of us as an example. We don't have to be great speakers. That's not what God's after. He wants us to share our lives with each other.